Hi everyone, I am Pinakin Munshi. We are covering the legal aspects in supply chain management. We are now covering chapter 10, which deals with the Act of Environmental Protection. In this chapter, we are going to deal with details of the water or the Prevention and Control of Pollution Act of 1974, functions of central and state boards, penalties for water pollution, details of the Air Act or the Prevention and Control of Pollution Act 1981, functions of the central and state board for air pollution control, penalties for air pollution, Environmental Protection Act of 1986, powers of the central government, offenses and penalties. So, we will start with the details of the Water Act of 1974. The Act is called as the Water or the Prevention and Control of Pollution Act of 1974. It's an act which provides for the prevention and control of water pollution and for maintaining or restoring of the wholesomeness of water. So, primary goal is to prevent the pollution, because many a times once a water body gets polluted, the change can be irreversible. So the primary motive is to prevent, and second, in case of pollution, the secondary effort is to try and restore it to its original state, the wholesome state. Because many a times when you are talking of water, there could be marine life. There could be fishes, etc. inside the water. It could be a well, could be a pond, a lake, it can be a river, can be the sea. So, you can do damage, to the marine life. It could be fish, could be plants, vegetation, etc. So, it's very important, that this act basically tries to prevent damage to the environment. Specifically water. So, what are the functions of the center and the state board? So, the Central Pollution Control Board is formed to exercise the powers conferred on them by the central government and perform the functions assigned under this act. We will, as we go along, we will see what are those functions and what are the powers which are conferred on the central board. The main function of the state board shall be to promote cleanliness of streams and wells in different areas of the state in coordination with the central government or the central board and various laboratories. What are the powers of the central board? So, some of the powers are to receive instructions from the central government about suspected or probable polluted areas for inspection and control of pollution. So, the government can suspect that certain industries or certain areas are being polluted. They can direct the central board to actually look into it, investigate, and even form certain standards for imposing in those areas. Example, you have the Taj monument, and they found that there is a deterioration of this monument. So, the center actually took up this case, and the central board as well as the state board, they actually formed certain actions. Though it is related to air, the powers for air, water, soil more or less remain the same. So, this is how the center can intervene or guide the central board. Also, it gives instructions to the state boards about the suspected polluted areas. To remove any doubts in operations raised by the state boards regarding the polluted areas and to solve them in coordination with the central government, because many a times the central board will specify certain standards which may be compliable or may not be compliable, or which may require certain time for compliance. So, in such a case, there is a resolution process between the center and the state. And why we have this interface between the central board and the state board is because the industry is in different states, can be something very unique. Just to give an example, we took the example of Agra, where they had a lot of foundries where casting used to be done. Similarly, if you look at Kanpur in Uttar Pradesh, you have a lot of tanneries there. So the pollution there is mostly coming from these leather tanneries. So there are specific areas where certain states can have certain concerns, and those have to be resolved between the central and the state boards. What are some of the powers of the state board? To define a new water pollution prevention and control area. So, you know, generally the entire state is actually covered under the water pollution and control area, but certain areas can be demarcated separately, and they may have a different stringent requirement in terms of water pollution, depending upon what is the sensitivity of the water body which is in that particular area. So they can also realign or reorganize the control areas. They can either expand or reduce these areas within the control. And generally the areas under a certain control will have a common requirement or compliance to be met with. I will discuss this a little later. They also have power to obtain information about the polluted areas as instructed by the central board of the state government. So not only are they working with the central board, they are also working closely with the state government. And the state government, even in the Agra case, it could have been the state government which has taken up the case of the pollution and its effect on the Taj. Power to take effluent samples and power of entry and inspection. The state boards generally inspect the major polluters or major industries to basically ensure that they are complying with the provisions of the Act. That means they have effluent discharge which is meeting with the requirement. A lot of industries have a requirement that they should have their own effluent treatment plant, and they make sure that after treatment, the effluent which is being discharged meets all the requirements. So they can even take samples, have them tested in their own laboratories or certain accredited labs to make sure that the unwanted elements are below the permissible limits. Also, entry and inspection means they can enter any industry, any factory, any premises unannounced. They cannot be stopped. Emergency powers of the state board. So, when it appears to the state board that there are any poisonous or polluting matters present in the stream or well or on land, and if the board is of the opinion that it is necessary to take immediate action, so then it can carry out such operations which may be necessary. And what are those operations that we will look at? Just a word of caution, when you say poisonous or polluting matter, please understand that the pollution is not always that it has to be a poison. A simple thing like sewage being pumped into a lake or something, that can amount to pollution, or certain let's say waste being dumped into a water body can be a pollution. Anything which depletes the oxygen level in the water can be a pollutant, or let us say that some clay or some industrial waste is being added to the water body or dumped into the water body, which is shifting the pH. You know, the ideal pH is supposed to be 7, in reality it can be between say 6 and 9, but if it is going beyond on either side, then that also can be termed as a pollution. So let us understand pollution is not only when there is a poison or there is something very obnoxious. Even very normally seen materials can become pollutants when they are in a water body. So, what are the emergency powers? Removing the matter from the stream or well and disposing it in a manner which is considered appropriate. So, if there is a polluting matter, let us say that there is some waste paper which has been dumped. So, this needs to be removed. I am giving an example which is very easy to understand. It's a physical object, but it could be certain chemicals, it could be some other kind of a pollutant, so which needs to be removed from the polluted body or the water body and disposed of. Remedying or mitigating any pollution caused by its presence in the stream or well. So, remedying or mitigating is basically a corrective and a preventive action. So, corrective action is we have already seen that they removed the pollutant, and in preventive action the focus is to ensure that this incident does not repeat. Issuing orders immediately restraining or prohibiting the person concerned with discharging any poisonous or polluting matter or for making insanitary use of the stream. I give you the example of Kanpur, and since I have also worked with a company, multinational, which makes chemicals for the leather industry. So, our customers are there in Kanpur, and many of these people, they use chemicals which have high amount of prohibited substances. Also, they do not treat the water. That means, they are supposed to treat the water with an effluent treatment plant to remove any unwanted substances before the water can be discharged in the river. And Kanpur is on the banks of Ganga, and this water flows to Allahabad and then subsequently to Varanasi or Banaras as we know it. So, during the Kumbh Mela, there were orders issued to shut down all these tanneries in Kanpur, because they were discharging the pollutants, and suppose these pollutants find their way at Allahabad, it can result in a tragedy, you know, because of the toxic substances, etc., or even people can have, you know, rashes or some skin disorders, etc. So, this was done by issuing certain orders, you know, to shut down the units. So, this is another emergency power of the state board, whereby they can restrain a person or prohibit the person from carrying out operations and discharging any polluting substances into the stream. it's not restricted to only restraining a unit or shutting down a unit. If a unit has committed an offense by releasing poisonous substances or polluting substances which has caused damage to the water body, it could be reversible or irreversible, then there are varying degrees of penalties or punishments which are prescribed by this act. So, whoever does not, does any action as per this section 25 or 26 of the Environmental Protection Act, they shall be punishable by imprisonment, which can be, from 3 months, it can be up to a long time depending upon the seriousness, and penalties could be from 10,000 rupees to it can go into few lakhs or so. It depends upon what is the size of the polluting unit, what is the constitution. If it's a small, a sole proprietor kind of a company, the seriousness is less, the punishment could be this. If it's a big company and the seriousness is much more, then as we said, the punishment could be much more severe. Penalties for water pollution. So, whoever contravenes the provisions of section 24 shall be punishable with imprisonment for a term which shall not be less than 1 year and 6 months. That means 1.5 year, but it can extend up to 6 years and it could also be accompanied with a fine. And if the second or subsequent conviction takes place to cause the offender's name and place of residence, the offense and the penalty imposed will be published at the offender's expense, and there will be extra penalties, extra fine. And also the punishments are generally harsher than what are given for the first time offenders. Where an offense is committed by a company, any person who is responsible for the operations at a given point of time, or who are termed as responsible by the company, they are deemed as liable, or they are deemed as guilty for the offense, and proceedings can be initiated against this guilty people. We will come to this later, but let me just tell you that it could be simply the operator who is operating a effluent treatment plant, to the manager who is responsible for the plant, to the occupier of the plant, that means the managing director or the CEO of the company against whom this offense can be registered. So please bear in mind that this is an extremely serious thing, where the senior most people in an organization can be imprisoned or penalties can be imposed. So we now come to the Air Pollution Act, which is the Prevention and Control of Air Pollution. This act is dated 1981. So pollution is considered as a very serious offense, and it's not just the pollution in the air, but it's also the noise pollution which is forming part of this pollution, because we know that a high level of noise can impair the hearing of the people. So it covers both the pollutant in physical form and in the form of noise. So out of the unending serious pollutions, environmental pollution by air and noise are increasing day by day. These need to be controlled to avoid future serious threats for the purpose of preservation of quality of air and control of air pollution. So this act is formed. I would just like to say a few more things. Air pollution is not just restricted to dust or certain gases. You may be aware that air pollution is generally measured in terms of carbon dioxide, carbon monoxide, nitrous oxide, sulfur dioxide, suspended particulate matter which is there in the environment. Now these are the simpler ones which are generally monitored, but you may be aware that there are some refrigeration gases etc. which also form as pollutant, and these are far more serious because they can deplete the ozone layer. And you know that in certain parts of the world like Australia, the ozone layer has been depleted to such an extent that the UV rays reaching the surface of the earth are very, very high, which results in skin disorders and in some cases even skin cancer. So air pollution is another very important aspect of the environment. Also the immediate effect on the people is you have people suffering from respiratory disorders whenever there is high amount of pollution, even eye irritation etc. You may already have seen in the news etc. that China is notorious for this air pollution, and cities like Beijing etc. are continuously under a smog for extended periods of time. So again, we look at what are the functions of the Central Pollution Control Board. So one of the functions is to improve the quality of the air and to prevent and control or abate air pollution in the country. So prevention and what you cannot prevent, you need to control and abate. Abate is basically proactively trying to improve the air quality. Plan and cause to execute a nationwide program for the prevention, control or abatement of a air pollution. So they actually, like a project, they take up programs, a nationwide program for improving the air quality. They coordinate the activities of the state board and resolve disputes among them. So they are also guiding the state boards in the new legislations or the new standards for air pollution or the cleanliness of the air. And any disputes, again, as we mentioned, because every state has different kind of industries and compliance does vary from state to state, from location to location. So they resolve any disputes which may arise. They also organize through mass media a comprehensive program regarding the prevention, control or abatement of pollution. This is mainly through education of the people, enlightenment of the people to basically make them aware of the ills of air pollution. Continuing with the functions of the Central Pollution Control Board, they provide technical assistance and guidance to the state boards. So they carry out and sponsor investigations and research relating to the problems of air pollution, and they also, you know, basically for maintaining the quality of the air. So what kind of technical assistance and guidance do they provide? When it comes to, let's say, new directive as far as the vehicles are concerned, so you have the Bharat Standard 1, 2, 3, 4. Currently we are on Bharat Standard 4. So basically all these standards, technical standards, are issued by the central board, and they also guide the state boards on how these standards have to be complied with, how you need to test, what are the limits, what are the test methods, because as the standards become more stringent, it may be you require special methods to detect certain pollutants when they are in very, very small percentages. They also sponsor some investigations and research relating to the problems of air pollution. We recently heard of some European car companies which were found to be cheating on the pollution control norms. That means the software was cheating the measuring instruments. Whenever the pollution levels were being measured, the car would operate very efficiently, would not give out any pollutants. But under normal operating circumstances, the cars were operating differently, which means they were polluting more than what they claimed to be. So this was actually detected through one of the research programs in USA. So similarly, even the in India, they fund certain research. In fact, after this incident involving this European car manufacturer, in India, they have started research on the very same subject. To what extent they would be violating the law in India remains to be seen, because the standards which are prevalent in Europe and USA are little more stringent than the ones in India. So it is very likely that these vehicles, though they are violating the norms in US or Europe, may be complying with the Indian laws. But of course, it remains to be proved or seen. So they also collect and compile and publish technical statistical data relating to air pollution and the measures devised for its effective prevention. They are monitoring, let's say, across the metro cities, etc., what are the kind of pollution levels which are actually there, and they basically raise the flag whenever things are going beyond control, and they basically caution the state boards to start taking actions. Further, they lay down the standards for the quality of the air. So we talked about, you know, monitoring of the pollutants. So beyond monitoring, they also decide what would be the realistic levels or standards for the quality of the air. Ideally, it's very easy that you can just borrow the standards from Europe or USA, but considering that Indian industries are still not that advanced in technological terms, you have a very large number of cottage industries, small-scale industries, micro industries, which cannot probably invest or comply with very stringent laws. So, they have to actually form standards which are compliable and which do not have a major impact on the economy. So, they also collect and disseminate information with respect to the matters relating to air pollution. So, there could be new developments, new materials, new pollutants. So, all this information is actually disseminated by the central board to the state boards and the state governments. They perform some other functions as may be prescribed. So, it's a very blanket term. A lot of other activities they may be called upon to do either by the central government or as required or requested by the state boards. The central board may establish or recognize laboratories to enable the central board to perform its functions under this section efficiently. So, what they do is setting up of laboratories, either they can set up their own laboratories or they can accredit or certify certain existing laboratories, and certification generally will involve audits. The test methods are checked. Test methods may be as per certain international standards or certain Indian standards, VS standards, and there is a continuous monitoring of the performance to see that these labs are giving consistent results. So, this job also is taken care of by the central board.